From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Gene Engany, reading The Big Island Posse, an Hawaiian Western by Robert B. Olofsson. We'll begin with Chapter 1, The Sandwich Islands via Seattle.
"Would you look at that mountain?" said Lincoln Long in a breathless Scottish burr. "It's the grandest snow-covered peak in the entire world, I'll wager anyone."
All four of us peered out of the passenger car windows of the slowly moving Northern Pacific train at a cone-shaped volcanic peak glistening white in the morning sun, standing as an alabaster dome in the rugged Cascade Range of Washington Territory. Other passengers crowded to the left side of the rail car and gasped audibly with various expressions of awe at the towering peak.
"That's Mount Tacoma," said the conductor as he readily assumed the role of tour guide for the passengers. "It's almost 3 miles above sea level, snow-capped year-round. It's often clouded over. You're lucky to catch it in its sunlit glory."
"Some people call it Mount Rainier," exclaimed a lady passenger in eastern attire.
"You must be from Seattle," scoffed a conductor, his mutton chops bristling on his florid face. "Seattle people don't like it to be called by its Indian name."
"I'm just stating a fact, Mr. Conductor," the portly lady admonished, "and I'm not from Seattle either."
The conductor, feeling that he was not up to a debate, turned his back on the woman and cast his eyes on Lincoln, Tanya, Sonya, and me.
"Say, tell me, where do you four handsome young people come from? I see two cowboys and two blonde women as beautiful as angels before me."
He doffed his cap and bowed to Tanya and Sonya as other passengers applauded his remarks. I had to admit to myself that the four of us did have some eye-catching properties. Lincoln and I wore our tall Stetsons, leather vests, cowboy boots, and six-shooters. After all, the year was 1887, and train robberies were known to still occur on the NP lines of the West. Tanya and Sonya smiled their best blue-eyed expressions of joy. Their ivory complexions, blonde tresses, and maroon-colored velvet dresses sparkled as rays of sun refracted through the windows of the moving car.
"I'm Val Stephenson. This is my wife, Sonya, with her sister, Tanya, and Lincoln Long, Tanya's boyfriend. We've just left Medora, North Dakota," I said, as I tipped the brim of my hat to the conductor.
"But I'm originally from Scotland," Lincoln blurted out, "and these magnificent beauties are Icelandic goddesses that have come to us by way of Gimli, Canada."
Then, as a sort of afterthought, Lincoln concluded,
"Val is of Icelandic heritage, too, and he was Mr. Theodore Roosevelt's foreman on the Maltese Cross Ranch in Dakota. He's the best cowboy in the world."
We all laughed as Lincoln blushed self-consciously. The conductor's mutton chops danced a jig on his animated cheeks. Finally, he controlled his mirth and responded.
"This is some day. I've seen the grandest volcanic peak in the world, beheld the most beautiful Icelandic goddesses in all creation, and now have met the best cowboy on earth. I guess it is appropriate that this part of the line is called Stampede Pass. What better place for encounters with cowboys and cowgirls?"
The portly eastern lady turned her broad face toward us and smirked.
"Who is Theodore Roosevelt? Never heard him."
The locomotive whistle emitted a series of loud, shrill blasts that virtually drowned out the sound of Lincoln's rejoinder.
"You'll hear of Mr. Roosevelt. You'll hear of him. You mark my words."
As the train whistle continued to blast, the conductor shouted,
"We've reached the summit of the pass. It's downhill all the way to Seattle now. We'll be there in about an hour."
The train car hummed with many expressions of anticipation and admonitions to get ready.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?